And we give you a title or a subject that is under consideration, if you choose, and that is the sphere, the circle, the place, the locality where God is glorified. God is not glorified in every circle, in every audience. In fact, he's not glorified in every religious audience. I'm hoping to make some reference, and sometimes I don't get to these points, where it was exception to the rule, where God received and accepted glorification from the Gentiles. That was exception to the rule. I'm not saying it never happened. That's why it was exception. Because when the Almighty God chose Israel to be his people and gave them certain identity, when Gentiles want to glorify God, they had to come and identify with the Israelite, circumcised, etc., etc. Well, so it is today that while the Almighty God loves every person, are you here today and you're not a Christian? God loves you. That's a fact. But the blessing that he reserved for his people, for the Christian, is different. For example, there are certain blessings, spiritual blessings, that are not available to the non-Christian. Wait, Mr. Mitchell, explain that. The Bible speaks a lot about in Christ. Now, there are certain blessings only when you are in Christ. The term really means an obedient relationship with Christ. Only when you are in Christ, you receive those blessings. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3. Read it quick, somebody for me. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3.
Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings.
Stop there. Watch here now. Listen to the brother as usual. God bless us. Notice the us. That is not everybody. With all spiritual blessing. Notice where this is available. Read on.
In heavenly places.
That is in the church.
In Christ.
That is in Christ. You see, to be in the church, this is referring to the church that Christ built, Christ church, the church of Christ. To be in the church is to be in Christ. To be in Christ is to be in the church. But notice the passage says that God blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, that's the church, in Christ. But Brother Mitchell, I thought you said he loved the ungodly people. Yes, and you know what? There are some blessings that he gives to you. The ungodly. Notice there's something you didn't notice in the passage that was just read. The passage that was just read, the emphasis is on what kind of blessing? spiritual blessings. That type of blessing is available only in Christ. Secular blessing, physical blessing, oh Lord, you get that whether you are in Christ or not. God provide that. That's why the Bible teaches that he send rain only on the just, both on the just and the unjust. That means the physical blessings of life God gives to everyone. He's a gracious, kind, good God. But the spiritual blessings, you have to be in Christ. One of the things I'm hoping to get to today, and as you might have noticed and should have, is that there are so many times, like for myself, I set out to cover certain grounds in a lesson and time runs out. But one of the important aspects of today's lesson, while the first lesson and this lesson is taken from Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17 to about verse 21, much of today's lesson will not even cover the point that I set out to cover when I started this lesson a week ago. Because there are some other things about the church which Jesus Christ built that Christians and non-Christians need to understand. We are aiming to where we reach the point where we can cover the passage in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17 or 18 through verse 21. But in preparing the lesson over the past week, are finalizing some points. There are two areas that I feel I must share with you for your enlightenment and for your spiritual advancement in reference to how the Almighty God sees the church. Now, God sees things in the right and proper way. We do not always see things correctly. And part of being a Christian is that day by day, God wants us to learn to see things His way. Now, most Christians know that the church, and when the Bible speaks of the church, the Bible is not contemplating man-made religious groups. Very important that we keep that in mind. The Bible speaks about those who said that they are Jews, but they are nothing but the synagogue of Satan. That's Revelation. That is, they were claiming to be God's people, but they were the church of Satan. So when the Bible speaks of the church, in fact, man, as close as the Jews were, the Jewish religion to Christianity, when a Jew heard the gospel, they realized that they had to make a change from Judaism, which was given by God, and submit to Christianity. It was no sense, no use them saying, but we are serving God and we believe in God and we have the Old Testament given by God. No. Jesus Christ had come with the gospel and founded the church. which all those who are being saved must be added. So the church has been a part of God's plan and purpose before the world was created. The true church is not any man-made thing. It is divine. God's ongoing work of salvation, saving men and women. Yes, that is ongoing. That is going on. But ladies and gentlemen, that is going on in the church. Get this. God is not saving any man or woman outside of the church. Are you here as a visitor, our honored guest? Welcome again. If some things are said from this pulpit that sound hard to you, we beg that you let us hear from you. That's the church's telephone number. That's right. What did I just say? That the Almighty God is not saving anyone outside of his church. That's a fact. Listen, Acts of the Apostle chapter 2 and verse 47. I think that's the last verse. May I? This is the passage that is Acts chapter 2. That tells how men became a Christian. The first time the gospel of Jesus Christ was preached in fact and in reality. The first time. That is the first time anyone had become Christian. This passage of Acts chapter 2 is telling us. And listen what God's inspired word is saying about the church. Let us hear it.
Praising God.
Praising God. That is the Christian.
And having favor with all the people.
They had favor with all the people.
And the Lord added to the church.
Who does the adding?
The Lord added to the church.
Wait. In the first place, no one ever joined the true church of Christ. You join a man-made church. With the church of Christ, you submit to Jesus' terms and condition, and God himself does the adding. Wait. That you come, you get baptized, we write your name in a book, and welcome you as a member. We do not do the adding. That is done by God. No, you join man-made church, but not the true church. And the Lord added, notice whom he added. And the Lord
added to the church daily such as should be saved.
That term, such as should be saved, more properly is those who are being saved. That is, salvation is ongoing. So God's work of saving men and women, and that will continue up to judgment, that is going on in the church and nowhere else. You don't have to join any church. We can't be a Christian. Who tell you that? Don't permit Satan to fool you. In fact, since we are on, you see, we are on the importance of the church, and remember, it going to this series of lessons going to culminate in where you cannot glorify God outside of the church. But now we have just left from the book of Acts of the Apostle, chapter 2 and verse 47, that the Almighty God himself, not the preacher, not the apostle, not angel, God himself does the adding to his church. Notice too, wait. The Lord added to the churches. Is it the church?
The church.
Wait. When you talk about the man or the woman, you are speaking about a particular person. One. But listen some more about what God's word says about the church. Is it Acts of the Apostles, verse chapter 20, verse 27, somewhere about there? Take heed unto yourself and to all the flock over which, let us hear it.
For I have not shown to declare unto you all the counsel of God.
Wait, back up, come up, let me hear. Is take heed unto yourself.
Verse 28,
okay.
Take heed therefore.
Listen, we talk about the church and how God sees the church. Take heed therefore unto?
Unto yourselves.
Unto?
And to all the flock.
Yes.
Over which the Holy Ghost
hath made you?
Overseer.
Overseer. Listen this now.
To feed the church of God.
To feed the church of God.
Which he hath purchased with his own blood.
May I? When Jesus Christ died at Calvary, his blood didn't purchase the government. God wants that there be civil authority governing. That's right. That there be order in society. But when Jesus Christ died, he didn't die for the government. He did not die even for the home. Wait. The home is the oldest institution. Are we all there? The home, as a unit in society, is the oldest institution. Yet Jesus Christ didn't die for the home. When Jesus Christ died, he died to purchase the church. Take heed unto yourself and to all the flock. Amen. The flock, they refer to the church, you know. Over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseer to?
To feed the church.
Feed the church of God which he purchased with his own blood.
Amen.
The precious blood of Jesus Christ was shed to, wait, bring the church into existence and to purchase the church. The church. God's ongoing work of salvation in Christ is going on in the church. I remind you again that the topic of the lesson surrounds Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17 through 21. But Ephesians being the book primarily about the church, the book of Ephesians, of the 27 books in the New Testament. When you want to hear about the church, Ephesians is it. Like when you want to hear about how men and women become Christian the Bible's way, you read the book of Acts. That's the book of conversion. That's the book that tells you and me how men are and women become Christian the Bible's way, Acts. But when you want to hear about the church of Christ, the true church, the one that Jesus Christ said, upon this rock I will build my church, you turn to the book of Ephesians. So it was on that consideration I said, before I even Let us look before we look at some final points in chapter 3 about glorifying God, the Almighty God, specifically tell us where that's going to have to be done. I said before we do that, let us look on a few more things regarding the church. The one Jesus Christ built. The church Jesus Christ built is unavoidable. The church Jesus Christ built is ungetaroundable. The church Jesus Christ built is inevitable. Can you go over that, Brother Mitchell? Thank you for asking me. The church Jesus Christ built is unavoidable. You can't avoid it. If you are going to stand right with God, remember the passage in the book of Ephesians. Sorry, not Ephesians. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2, verse 47. That the Lord added to the church those who were being saved. Who were saving them? God, saving them in Christ. And the Almighty God has a plan that was put in place before the world was created, that He would process. He would process subject for heaven in the church. So it is unavoidable. You can't avoid the church if you are going to stand right with God. It is ungetaroundable. Try as you may, you cannot get around the church Jesus Christ built if you are going to stand right before God. You can't get under it, you can't get around it, you can't get over it. God dictates that you become a part of it. The church Jesus Christ built is inevitable. When a thing is inevitable, mean you must deal with it. Are we there? So, let us look at Ephesians chapter 3, verse 8 through verse 11. Let us hear it.
Unto me, who am less than the least of all the saints.
Unto me, who am less than the least of all
the saints.
The saints.
Is this grace given?
Is this grace given? The brother is reading from the passage of Ephesians chapter 3, verse 8 through verse 11, telling us more about the church. Amen. Read.
That I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ.
You see, we know and are responsive to one riches, and that is economic riches. Oh my God, poor us. May God have mercy on us. You see, our sense of value is what? True sin. Here the man is talking about the unsearchable riches in Christ. And he's saying that's what he preached. You would never recognize or acknowledge that the truth being shared with you today is unsearchable riches. Yes, that's right. When you hear any truth about God, about Christ, the Holy Spirit, how to become a Christian, the church, it is riches beyond recognition. Because when Paul said about what he preached, the unsearchable riches, it was some of the same truth I'm here preaching to you. that Jesus Christ is your Savior, is Lord, that the church is the body of Christ, and that you must become a part of it in order to be saved. So read on, brother.
And to make all men see.
And to make all men see.
What is the fellowship?
What is the fellowship
of the mystery?
Of the mystery.
Amen.
Now read on, read on.
Which from the beginning of the world
was
hath been hidden.
Hid.
In God.
In God. There is certain thing, ladies and gentlemen, that since God created the world, he revealed it to no angel, he revealed it to no prophet. It was held in God's secret box until Jesus Christ came.
Amen.
Read on, brother.
Who created all things by Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
To the intent.
With what that word, to the intent, with this in mind. This Amen. Is what God had in mind. This is why he kept it to himself. Wait. The angel around the throne of God who served God, they did not know about it. This is why the Bible teaches us that now they have to be peeping and looking, taking interest in how God's plan of salvation is being unfolded in Christ's church. Amen. The Bible teaches that. That is going on now. That angel are learning from the church. Mm-hmm.
To the intent.
This is what God in mind. To the intent that.
That now unto the principalities and powers.
Wait. Who is that, Brother Mitchell? Principalities is referring to angel. Amen. Now unto the
principalities
and power.
In heavenly places.
In heavenly places.
Might be known.
Wait, take time with me, dear brother. Big stuff coming up. Might be known.
By the church.
By the church.
The manifold
wisdom of God. Wait. You got that? I don't think you get it, you know. Because what the passage here is telling us, that unto principalities and power. Who is that? Or what is that? Angels. It says in heavenly places, and to them it might be known through the
church,
the manifold
wisdom
of God. Wait, God. The passage is teaching us that it is God's work of salvation in the church that is enlightening angel. That's what the passage is teaching. And to principalities and power might be known to these principalities and power in heavenly places, angel. God's many-sided wisdom. Manifold means many-sided. Known by whom? By other angel? No. All the angel have to learn from the church. That's how important the church is. You talk about institution of higher learning, there is no greater one than the church. You talk about prestigious institution, no one more prestigious than the church. You talk about Ivy League institution, there is none like the church. Because angels is getting their education in respect to the wisdom of God. Wait, Brother Mitchell, I don't get you. Yes, the angel who served God around his throne, who have been there with him before me and you were ever created. These angels, I'm not even want to turn to 1 Peter, was it chapter 2, verse 12, that tells us that angel, what the term it used?
Long to look into, and
the idea there is that angel a peep what's going on in the church. That's right. Oh my God. Yes, you are there. That might be known to the church, the manifold wisdom of God. What verse is that? You are in Ephesians chapter 3. I've said 8 to 11.
The end of verse 10.
Read verse 11.
According to the eternal purpose.
Which he purposed in?
In Christ Jesus.
Wait. You get it? You get what I get? That God's eternal purpose, God's purpose that span the eternal past. Not only Jesus Christ, but the body of Jesus Christ, the church, was a part of that plan. From then, in the eternal past, the Almighty God had fixed it that the holy angel around his throne should be educated about the wisdom of God through the church. Talk about you can be saved without joining any church. Well, part of that is right. You don't have to join, but you must be a part of the body of Christ. That's right, because that is where the institution that God is doing his saving work. Look on chapter 5, brother. Look on chapter 5. Look on chapter 5 from verse 25 through 27. Quick. We are talking about the importance of the church. Look on chapter 5, verse 25 through 27. Look on it. Ephesians chapter 5.
Husbands, love your wives.
The brother is reading Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. Mm-hmm. Husband, love your wife.
Even as Christ also loved the church.
Wait. May I? The passage is using husband and wife as a type of example and encouraging Christian husband to love their wives, to be reasonable with them. But the passage is primarily about Christ and the church. He's going to tell you. Husband, love your wife as Christ also loved the church.
And gave himself for it.
Everybody getting it? Don't kick and throw the church here and there. It is the thing in God's sight. Gave himself for it. There's no way you can ever get more than one out of it. There's no way. The it referred to the church. So Christ has one true church. And the Bible teaches that in the same way there is one true God, in the same way there is one true Lord, in the same way there is one true baptism, in the same way there is one true Holy Spirit, there is also one true church. And gave himself for it. Read.
That he might sanctify.
Watch here now. Get this.
That he might sanctify.
Wait, take time with my brother. I'm very slow. Now, that he might sanctify. What? This passage is telling you is what is going on in the church now by God. If you want to benefit from some of the things God is doing to land you over on the other side of death in a safe state, listen to this passage. Start the reading. You had started at 25?
Yes, brother.
What verse are you?
I'm at 26.
Oh, Lord. Okay. So, I want that those who might be distracted to get the context again. Quick, brother, start.
Husbands, Mm-hmm. Love your wives. Mm-hmm.
As Christ also loved the church.
And gave himself for it.
Christ gave himself for the church.
Amen.
Watch here now.
That he might sanctify.
You know why he gave himself for it?
Amen.
Notice the things that Christ is doing for the church. Wait. The things being said here are all ongoing.
Amen.
All ongoing. That he may sanctify. That is going on. But wait, he's not sanctifying you as such. He sanctified the body, and if you're a part of the body, you are benefiting from that sanctification. That he might sanctify it,
and cleanse it.
That he might cleanse it with the washing of water by the word.
Amen.
Read.
That he might present it to himself,
uh-huh,
a glorious church,
uh-huh,
not having spot.
If you want to get rid of the spot and wrinkles, mm-hmm, but Brother Mitchell, I have a nice cream I'm using. Well, look here. That's not the type of spot and wrinkle that the passage. This is talking about spiritual spot and wrinkle. You know, I have a sermon on that very point, getting rid of the wrinkles. And when the Bible, you know, talk about wrinkle, it's a metaphor. It is using wrinkle, you're referring to those ungodly ways in us that we need to get rid of before they comes. Are we all there? The Bible called them spots and wrinkles. But you notice where God is dealing with that. Never outside of his church. Amen. It's in the church. That's why, that he might sanctify. Mm-hmm.
And cleanse it.
No, notice it. Cleanse it. Uh-huh.
With the washing of water by the word.
Uh-huh.
That he might present it to
himself.
Notice
it. Uh-huh.
To himself.
A glorious church.
Not having spot.
Not having spot.
Or wrinkle.
Or wrinkle.
Or any such thing.
All this is about the church. And what Jesus Christ is doing with the church. As we march unto eternity, the Almighty God is working through Christ with the church to prepare men and women for a peaceful, blissful, happy eternity. But he's not working outside of the church. Are we all there? You had read. What verse is that, brother?
I'm in verse 27.
You finished 27?
No, brother.
Well, let me hear it now.
But that it should be holy and without blemish.
Again, it. Everybody gets that? It. He's not talking about an individual Christian here. He's talking about the church collectively. He's talk about the institution. That's why the word it is used. You want to be cleansed of those sin and godly ways that is referred to as spot and wrinkle, remain faithful in, become first a part of the church and remain faithful. Look, verse 29. Quick, brother. Verse 29.
For no man ever yet hated his own flesh.
Watch here. All this is about the church, you know. The church being the body of Christ. When he says, no man ever hated his own flesh.
Amen.
are his own body. It's talk about the church. Never, no man ever hated his own flesh.
But nourisheth.
Wait. That is talk about what Christ is doing to his body, the church. But nourisheth it.
And cherisheth it.
And cherisheth it.
Even as the Lord, the church.
You notice that he talk about the church. But what he's saying, that in the same way, a sensible person take care of his or her body. And I speak to people quite often, talking to a person individually. And what I notice is how we have our priority mixed up. Truly. We will literally destroy our health to achieve something. And when you finally achieve it, you have no health to enjoy it. Because when you were trying to achieve it, you were so busy, you don't have breakfast, you're too busy. Breakfast is not important. Or you don't have lunch, or you don't have dinner, or you run to the fast food place, you don't care. You have to go at what you are going at, not realizing that you are stepping on some important principle. You need a healthy body to help you to achieve those things. So take care of the body. You know, I should charge you for that. We have our priority mixed up. Here the Bible says, no man ever hated his own body, but cherish it and nourish it.
Amen.
But all of that about the body is Jesus Christ is using the sensible person who takes care of his or her body to illustrate that Jesus Christ is taking care of his church, working in the church, working with the church, working through the church. Now cherish it. Mm-hmm. Go on. Verse 29, you were.
Even as the Lord, the church.
That's right. Read on, brother. Read on.
For we are members of his body.
Watch here now. That's about the church. We the Christians.
Amen.
We are members of the body of Christ.
Amen.
Watch here now. Look now. Read.
Of his flesh.
Wait. Y'all get that? We individual Christians, being a part of the church which Christ built, we are member of his flesh, it says.
His flesh,
uh-huh.
And of his bones.
Wait. Everybody get that? We are members of Christ's flesh, of Christ's bone. Wait, that's how Jesus Christ sees the church. Talking about you don't need the church to be saved. You cannot avoid the church. Any way you try to do that, you are going to end up on the wrong side of God on the day of judgment. Read a little more, brother.
For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother.
Brother Mitchell, no, it leave the church. No. It's still on the church. Watch here now, read that. For this cause shall a man leave his mother and father and cleave.
And shall be joined unto his wife.
To his wife, read on.
And they two
shall be
one flesh.
Watch here now. It's the one flesh he might try to show you, know, that is in the same way Jesus Christ and his church.
Amen.
Watch it. Read on.
This is a great mystery.
Uh-huh.
But I speak concerning...
Wait, I'm not really primarily talking about a man and his wife. I speak...
Concerning Christ and the church.
That's right. The church is the thing for the Almighty God who created this great, vast, beautiful, wondrous earth. The church is the most wondrous thing in this earth. Christ shed his blood for the church. You can't avoid it. It's foolish to try to avoid the church. What verse you start?
Verse 32.
Well, stop there, brother. Sorry. I just realized that time is going. I was about to look on my watch, but something said don't. But, you know, I know time has gone. You know, me, I said time is going. You might be there saying, Brother Mitchell, time has gone. Oh, Lord have mercy. There's so much to cover. So much to cover. Let us just read one passage here. I'm going to save. And remember, as we speak about the sphere, the place, the circle, the locality that God is to be glorified. We haven't gotten there yet, and I did not intend working on this lesson. While last week, when I preached the first part, I intend that the second lesson will close with that. And it will close with that point. But I realize that these points I am emphasizing and emphasizing for those who know them, sharing with those who do not know them. It is no mistake that I decided to spend the time today on these points because they are so important. We sort of shove the church here and there and treat the church like it's... No, it is the most important consideration in God's scheme of things. Jesus Christ died for the church. Jesus Christ is saving men and women today in the church, through the church and by the church. God's ongoing work of salvation is taking place no other place except in the church. Let us hear Ephesians chapter 2, 19 through 22. Quick. We're going to wrap up with just a few points because there are some important points here that even this passage we can't get through today. Read.
Now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints, and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth.
May I? We are. I'm wrapping up with just a few statements here. This passage also is showing the importance of the church. There, in the text, there is no less than three metaphors where the writer is using something that we know deal with to explain a spiritual truth. One, just quickly, metaphor one is he talks about citizenship. Amen. Where citizenship comes in being a Christian, and he's not talking about citizenship with the emphasis and you and I being citizens of Jamaica, or we are trying to get our US or Canadian citizenship. He's just using those as metaphor in the same way Paul was a citizen of Rome. And you know what? It brought Paul secular benefit on more than one occasion. I don't have time to read Acts of the Apostles chapter 16, where when the Roman magistrate heard that he was a citizen of Rome, the magistrate sent messenger quick to tell the prison officer to let him out of prison. So you see, Paul knew the benefit that a citizen have as against a non-citizen. Why he brought this business about citizenship, as I've said, it is a metaphor, is to show the Ephesians that in the same way, because Ephesus was a part of Rome, a colony of Rome, in the same way, those of you Ephesians who are citizens of Rome or wherever, know the blessing and benefit that come when you are citizen of God's kingdom, the church. That's his point. The other metaphor was membership in a single household. He used that. And leave it up to the members to draw their conclusion. The blessing in being a member of a stable household. Then the third and last one, neutral parts of one holy temple. That is like you and I are part of a temple where God is served, worshiped, glorified, honored. You are one of the bricks and I am one. But we are living bricks, not dead. All these, you know, as I've said in the text, there are no less than three metaphors that Paul used. And all these metaphors were to show Christ's relationship to the church and the Christian relationship to the church. We are going to stop here because there's so much to say. Let me beg you to, if you have some time, I was about to tell you to make the time in the week to study God's word. But let me put it mildly. If you have some time, if you can ever take a 30 minutes or a hour from your busy, weekly, running up and down, and if you can do a little reading upon the church. And the point here is for you to get a better understanding of the importance of the church in the eyes of God. And to realize that in our effort to be saved through Jesus Christ, the church is really unavoidable. The church, you can't get around it. The church is not a simple thing for God. For God to have given his only begotten Son to die for the church, to purchase the church with his own blood. Then it tells you of the value that God puts on the church. And when we get to the last part of this lesson, we will be looking on, if you want to give God the glory that is due to him, the Almighty God says it has to be done in the church. But the other central point that you need to understand is that God lives in the church. God lives in the church. So we ask that this be kept in mind as we will look more on this lesson and some important points. Hopefully, next week we can finish the lesson. I'm not promising that we will, but